This is the State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. North Carolina's dead last in the country for the rate of internet subscription. That's according to the latest FCC annual internet report. Only 17% of North Carolina households have fixed internet connections with reasonably fast download speeds. An even bigger issue is rural internet access. Rural residents say they have a hard time getting coverage, though providers say they're already out there. Chris Mitchell is Director of Telecommunications at the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. Welcome, Chris.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. Scott Przewanski is the Director of Public Relations at Time Warner Cable for the East Coast. Welcome, Scott. Good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Frank. Glad to be here.
And Marion Norton is a resident in Chatham County. Marion, welcome to you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I want to start with you. You live in Chatham County. How is your internet connection?
We do not have DSL. We have a phone company, but they don't bring DSL to us. We use a Sprint wireless, but because the wireless signals are so weak, we have to use an antenna and a signal booster to boost that signal a little bit and then share the little bit of signal we have with family members.
And how fast is that? There's a lot you can't do, I understand, in terms of download speeds.
I'm not into speeds, but I did fill out a survey on NC Broadband the other day, which included speeds. And unfortunately, the speed thing timed out. I tried it twice, but it timed out and said it couldn't record a speed.
Well, for instance, you were trying to get back into nursing. You're a registered nurse. You wanted to get back in. There's a lot of online testing you have to do to kind of do refresher courses, and it's all online these days. Tell us about that experience.
That was in 2007, and I was taking a refresher course. And in 2007, all we had was dial-up, and it was very frustrating. Sometimes staying up really late at night trying over and over again to submit things and have them to fail.
So is there no other alternative? What, can't you find another company that can give you a high-speed internet connection?
No. It seems there's a monopoly with CenturyLink. And, of course, we live in an area where there's no cable. And like I said, the wireless signal is so weak. Now, I've been told by one company that there was 4G out where we live, but that's not true, we find. Their mapping is not always accurate.
Well, let's talk about that. Chris, what are we to make of this FCC report? Let me talk with you, Chris Mitchell, that shows North Carolina dead last. 17% of the people who live here have internet speeds that are, you know, capable of doing what we need to do in this age.
The thing to make of that report is not that North Carolina is the worst state in the union to get broadband, but the standard tiers available that most people subscribe to in North Carolina are actually slower than the standard tiers in the rest of the country.
I see. So, Scott Przewanski at Time Warner Cable, what's going on there? Why are we so far behind?
Well, I think what's interesting, you know, to note too, Frank, is, you know, one of the things about what we're referring to in the broadband map is that, you know, the FCC report measures subscribers or adoption and not the availability of coverage. And so, according to the map, you know, almost 98% of North Carolina has access to broadband of a download speed of at least, you know, 3 Mbps. And, you know, that speed level, you know, if you browse the web, Facebook a bit, you know, even if you're watching Netflix, you'll be fine on that speed level. And so I think what's important to note, too, is that, you know, there is availability, but there is also a question of adoption in the state as well.
Well, Marion's in a place. We looked at the coverage map. She's technically covered. She technically has availability. Mm-hmm. She technically has access. She can't get it. What does that mean?
Well, with regards to how we would look at it at Time Warner Cable, you know, and you know, certainly have we do have service in certain areas of Chatham County. You know, we want as many customers as possible, have a great relationship with Chatham County, and have worked extensively with them to look into areas to expand, and have invested billions of capital in building plant or, you know, fiber coax cable, and doing it where we can with hopes that we will gain subscribers and turn a profit, you know, where possible. But, you know, what you have to remember is that we're going to build out, even if we don't get subscribers, us or any other telecommunications provider, we have to pay for it. So we're grateful that we have a great product with folks love and they want and they enjoy using, but have to look at it in terms of the availability and what makes business sense sometimes.
Well, Chris, tell us about this this availability map and this sort of coverage that shows technically North Carolina is covered up to 98%, but only 17%. Tell us about this coverage map and what it really means.
These maps are deeply flawed. They're developed by asking the carriers where they serve and to some extent even where they plan to serve in the near future. Now, within that, the mapping is done by the census block, which means that if your neighbor has access, you will be marked as having access even if you don't. And if someone down the street has access but most of your block doesn't, you'll be marked as having access. So we have a situation where the statistics are deeply flawed because they come from the voluntary data of the companies that want to submit it and what they submit with not a lot of verification.
Well, Chris, but Scott's making a point here that, look, we want customers. We don't not want customers. Well, why would they not want to sign people up? And why would they not want to hook up whole sections of North Carolina that we're hearing cannot get Internet access? Why wouldn't they want to?
Well, it's not a matter of them wanting to or not wanting to. It's such a simple question. The question is whether or not it's a investment that would pay for itself in a soon enough time period. So when we wanted to electrify the entire country, we recognized that the electric private companies were not the right tool to do that because the rural areas took too long to pay off, if ever. And so we recognized that we needed to make public investments. We needed to encourage co-ops. We needed to encourage municipal networks. And we seem to have forgotten that when it comes to extending the new essential infrastructure.
What about that, Scott? We're hearing from a lot of places the city of Wilson had to do it, other rural areas saying, look, it's not economically viable, and they're not going to string the cable. They're not putting the fiber optics in here. It costs them too much. Until the density goes up, a company like Time Warner isn't going to do it and apparently hasn't done it. Is it a density question, Scott? You're not going to do it till you have enough people.
Well, I we want as many questions as possible. As many customers as possible, and are always looking, you know, to expand our services where it's feasible. You make the point about the city of Wilson or municipalities. Unlike municipalities who can use a property tax or electric utilities to pay for their operation, water bills to pay for their operations. You know, we can't do that. So you look at an area like Chatham County, which is a predominantly rural community. I mean, there can be great distances between homes, and it can be cost prohibitive. But remember, too, we are not the only provider. This is a competitive field. Satellite companies provide Internet capabilities as well. So, at Time Warner Cable, at any rate, we're always looking for ways to expand our services.
Marion, you have a neighbor who has satellite, don't you?
Yes, several neighbors.
Tell us about their experience.
It just doesn't seem to be reliable. And a lot of things can affect whether it's actually working today or not.
Well, Chris, and just to talk about the market and, you know, how much competition there is, tell us about House Bill 129 that passed in 2011 here in North Carolina.
Sure. What we hear now from Time Warner Cable is it may not make sense for us to serve everyone. But at that time, they were pushing, and they had for many years, to make sure that others couldn't serve those people as well. So you had a situation where Time Warner Cable put a lot of money into lobbying and campaign contributions to get a bill passed that makes it all but impossible for municipalities, that also includes counties, to build the networks where the private sector is not investing.
Why would you do that, Scott?
Well, first of all, I think that's an inaccurate interpretation of the bill. The bill impacts, H-29 impacts the entire telecommunication industry, not just Time Warner Cable. Time Warner Cable was supportive of the bill. The bill was intended to create a level playing field. So if local governments want to provide commercial retail services in direct competition with private business, they can't use their considerable advantages unfairly. Competition is great. We welcome competition, but simply put, we want everyone to abide by the same rules. The bill does not apply in areas where there is not a competitive market.
Well, what are those considerable competitive advantages you're talking about?
Well, for instance, cities don't pay property taxes. They don't pay income taxes. They don't pay taxes on inputs to their services, the right-of-ways. So there's a list of them that go on and on. So again, it's not about preventing local municipalities at all from providing their services. It's welcomed. But the issue is doing it on a level playing field with everyone else.
Well, Chris, what about that? Scott's saying, look, we're just asking for a level playing field. We're not restricting anybody's ability, any municipality's ability to put this in. We just want to play on a level playing field.
We call a bill like this a leprechaun riding on a unicorn bill, which is to say we're not outlawing any local government from building a network. As soon as they come to us with a leprechaun riding on a unicorn, they can build it because they set these standards that are impossibly high.
Well, what are the standards? Tell me specifically what would make that impossible?
One of them is they have to calculate their cost of borrowing and their capital as though they were a private company, as though there's some single standard for what that takes. So it's a recipe for a lawsuit that will inevitably bankrupt the city because of the complexity of the issue. Well, other things include they're not allowed to serve. They have rigid service territories in which they can't expand. This is an area in which we're talking about an industry with returns to scale, which means that the bigger you are, the lower your costs are. And I just want to throw in there that I'm not going to accept this idea that a small town like Wilson has these advantages over the second largest cable provider in the entire United States. This is a company that has more employees than some of these towns have residents. They have all of the advantages. Local governments abide by the same rules already, and they don't use their taxing authority. Wilson hasn't used any taxpayer dollars. They use bonds that are backed by private investors.
And what about this argument that if cooperatives and local municipalities, that is governmental, areas, have some kind of advantage to provide something that isn't being provided, then they ought to use it because the private market is not satisfying the need? Chris?
For our issue, what it comes down to for us is not whether a municipality should build a network. The question is who's making that decision. For us, we think it should be at the local level. Time Warner Cable's bill effectively took it out of their hands. And this is something we've seen in many other states, 19 states now, either discourage or ban communities from building these networks. And this is just a straight-up power grab that we see time and time again where local communities are not able to make the important decisions.
Scott?
You know, the basic facts are is that, you know, by enacting this bill, H-29, the North Carolina General Assembly sent a strong message to the private sector, I think, that North Carolina is business-friendly and encourages the private sector to do what it does best, invest capital and create jobs for our North Carolina citizens. And in addition, H-29 puts in guidelines to protect taxpayers from being saddled with debt without first having a voice, as well as bringing greater transparency to local governments.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Scott Przewanski is Director of Public Relations at Time Warner Cable for the East Coast. Chris Mitchell is Director of Telecommunications for the Institute for Local Self-Reliance. And Marion Norton is a resident of Chatham County. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.